Tired of the hassle and risks of manual fruit cutting? Let me introduce our partners over at Supercut System, the automated solution that enhances safety, quality, and efficiency. Cut up to 120 perfect citrus wedges per minute, 6 times faster than manual. Patented technology delivers consistent slices, reducing waste and eliminating plastic. The contactless hygienic design lowers contamination risk and workplace injuries. Supercut integrates seamlessly for any volume, improve profitability and customer experience. Experience the power of automation with Supercut. Get started today at supercut.com and be sure to ask about their risk-free trials.
Elevate your dining experience with Rack Porcelain USA. As the exclusive tableware brand for the Walk and Talk podcast, Rack combines exceptional craftsmanship with innovative design. Whether you're a chef, a restaurant owner, or a food enthusiast, Rack's high-quality porcelain products will enhance every meal. Discover the artistry of food presentation and make every dining occasion special. Visit RackPorcelain.com today and see how Rack can transform your table. Chefs and food buyers, let me tell you about a product that will generate new excitement on your menu. Fully cooked, pasture-raised, all-natural Australian lamb from Aussie Select. Their award-winning, handcrafted, innovative products are blended with the finest spices and amazing flavors. Options include agave rosemary, tikka masala, lamb pastrami, and lamb prime rib roast. Available sliced or whole with a long shelf life too. Find out more at AussieSelect.com.
Tired of the hassle and risks of manual fruit cutting? Let me introduce our partners over at Supercut System, the automated solution that enhances safety, quality, and efficiency. Cut up to 120 perfect citrus wedges per minute, 6 times faster than manual. Patented technology delivers consistent slices, reducing waste and eliminating plastic. The contactless hygienic design lowers contamination risk and workplace injuries. Supercut integrates seamlessly for any volume. Improve profitability and customer experience. Experience the power of automation with Supercut. Get started today at supercut.com and be sure to ask about their risk-free trials.
Hello, food fam. This is the Walk and Talk podcast, your favorite food podcast, and I'm your host, Carl Fiadini. Welcome to the show. We are podcasting on site at Ibis Images Studios, where food photography comes alive, and I get to eat it. I'm so stoked. I am super excited because January 13th is right around the corner, and we have our Farmer's Craveable Dinner Series. Oh, my goodness. That's going to be great. And if you didn't buy your tickets, well, too bad. You're out of luck. And you'll get to see the pictures. You'll get to see all the social media. On the menu today, and thank you, Peninsula Food Service, for supplying the proteins for today's produzione. It is still tailgating season, and the big games are still coming. And that means we're still doing that kind of fun food. Who doesn't love a great burger? We're turning up the heat, and we're cooking up a Colorado-based High Plains bison burger, plus a couple of smoked pork options. They're going to bring the smiles. I know I did it. I'm full. I'm so full and happy. And I killed the burger. Like, I literally ate it. Like, as I'm doing this studio cam, I took the bite and I just said, guys, get the hell out of here. I'm eating it. And I did. That's what I did. Too bad if you don't like it. Also, this week's our guest is an actual journalist, which is very, you know, like, we're, you know, kind of who we are. Jeff brings the show down. I am, you know, whatever. But she's been published in the New York Times, USA Today, and the Orlando Sentinel, and more. She's a foodie, and in the Central Florida food industry, no, she knows it all. I'm in awe right now. We've got Amy Drew Thompson on deck. Jefferson.
What an intro.
Yeah. Jefferson, pop the clutch. Slam it a pre-shift, baby. Let's make it happen.
I just want to go on record that Silent John and I sat and watched you and went, wow, I wanted to taste that burger.
Well, you know, you didn't jump in fast enough.
No, nobody can. How many burgers you said you eat at a sitting?
2 to 3.
There we go.
Yeah.
True. We wanted to keep it going. So with the tailgating theme, so we did a pulled pork Boston butt. We did a little bit of coffee rub from Sweetwater Coffee from out of Gainesville. Thank you very much again. But I been tasked with challenges to make sandwiches as good as they can possibly be. And I think the pork sandwich was pretty darn good. So we did it with a tart cherry whipped brie, pickled jalapenos. We bronzed or pan fried or pan seared, since that one person was asking about what does bronzed mean. Rye bread with smoked maple syrup with maple vinegar slaw. Then that gave it a whole nother dimension. Then we did a, and I wanted to pay a little bit of homage to the bowls that are going around, like Chipotle bowl, you know, any type of bowls like that. So we did a barbecue bowl, and it was smashed potatoes. We had no sauce on the pork. The pork was actually the au jus, which was bourbon, which was just ridiculous.
No. It was more than that. It was more than that. That was outstanding.
Thank you.
Because you didn't need the barbecue.
Yeah. It's one of the things I wanted. And I showcased the barbecue beans because we're going to do that Saturday.
I was thinking when I tasted it, I was like, are you kidding me? That's what I said.
Yeah. Oh, there's the dad joke.
I want to use that.
You can use it. I give you permission.
And then we did the collards. So I wanted to bring that in. And then the burgers, I wanted to do something a little bit different. So I did a charred romaine on the one with fried onions with guava and cheese, paying a little homage to, you know, being from Miami, smoked poblano, and then put that on top. And then John says, come on, can you just give me a burger that's not chef-sized? So I said, okay, no problem. So I did the bison burger, white coastal cheddar. What?
No, go ahead.
Okay, white coastal cheddar with caramelized onion jam. And then I did mustard.
But that doesn't sound like a basic sexy burger.
I know. Well, wait.
That doesn't sound like a basic burger.
It wasn't, though, because we also did tomato powder on that.
I know. That's my point. You're like, oh, I'm going to do a regular. But it was.
I can't.
He
doesn't like red onions because it needed the texture. So I had to do the onion jam.
Listen, his shortcomings on food profile has nothing to do.
Yeah, but here's the thing. It's the challenge for someone like him that has that, you know, I don't like this, I don't like that. So how can I do it better?
He doesn't even talk.
Well, I have to talk for him. It's like Penn and Teller.
Okay. All right. I love it.
There we go.
Wow.
All right. So we did. I've been harvesting now.
I embrace that. Okay. Just for the
record. Thank you. Okay. So the garden at home has actually been producing some products. I got watermelon radishes and then did cucumbers, but I wanted to do a garlic infused pickle. That's from my little, you know, deli den years. I was growing up as a kid in Hollywood. So I did that and I think he liked it. So
he's shaking his head.
Yeah.
Well, okay.
At least Cindy's mad at me though. But no, I'm not. I'm mad at you because I didn't try the burger.
First of all, I took a big giant bite out of it. I didn't think you wanted any.
There's a knife. We could have cut it in half.
We could have.
How fast was that? Was that less than a minute?
Yeah, that was looking.
That was a snap from Silent John.
he communicates. No, but so what happened? What had happened was So I had this thing. It was this beautiful bison burger, and the sauce that was in it, the guava cheese. Dude, I mean, I couldn't share it, and I'm sorry. I'm not like that. I always want to feed people. That's how I roll.
He went prison guard. He like went over the arm around it.
Yeah, what you see in the studio cam that I put out already on the IG. I told you guys to get out of there. That was legit. I wasn't even kidding.
No, I think we sat there and talked for like 30 seconds more, and I go, he's almost done with it.
Yeah. Sorry. Screw you guys.
Obviously. Thank you, Cartman.
Sorry, screw you guys. Yeah. No, I mean, listen, I owe you. I owe you. When we...
You were just getting him back for the ribs last week.
True story. I mean, they look great. I mean, but I slammed that. I got that whole sandwich, though.
Yeah, you got that, Sammy.
Yeah. I got both. No, both. Both. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah,
man. But at least Cindy's got food for tonight.
I'm happy about that. Mostly. I mean, no offense, Cindy. I love you. You know that. But really, this is my place to forget about the world. You know, we got a 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 hours, whatever it is, on a Thursday, and it's, you know, select group of people here, and we just, you know, with Jeffrey's creative, you know, food genius, we're having these amazing, you know, dishes. Not one dish. We're just four stinking dishes.
What are you going to do Saturday?
Because you ate one.
Yeah, why? Yeah, thank you. Three. Thank you, Amy.
True story. You know what?
How many dishes are you going to eat on Saturday?
I don't even know what I'm doing on Saturday. Honestly, we're going to get into that. Hold on. Wait a second. Did you finish your
Yeah, my phone's down. I don't have to look at the copy anymore.
All right. Okay. Well, without further ado, let's she's chomping at the bit too. Like
I'm never waiting this long. Like I'm not waiting this long,
you know, well,
because you're talking about food that I also ate. So I'm like,
you're going to get your shot. Okay. You're going to get your shot.
You get one.
All right. Well, welcome the Amy Drew Thompson to the program.
It is so delightful to be here, but listening to your voices, you have such wonderful radio voices.
You wouldn't expect
it. I'm mucking it all up.
We're just a bunch of schleps. I can, without the mic.
He went to schlep.
Well, you know,
based I'm verklempt now.
Schlub, you know, schlep, whatever.
Yeah. Schmendrick. I don't know, whatever.
That I know.
That works
I know.
Too.
Yeah, it works. All right. So what's your take?
On what? On all the food?
Well, I saw you sit there. You wanted to.
I know, but you know, the moment's gone. That's the whole thing. You guys are like,
I feel like
we're
going to
talk about the food.
Are you my wife?
Stay quiet.
What happened here?
And I was just, you know, listening. But yeah, I can't. When you started talking, I wasn't even here when you ate this burger with the guava and the cheese that I missed.
Right. Yeah.
And so now I'm pissed that I didn't get to taste the burger.
So are we.
So are we. I could tell you, you could just take my word on it. It was really good.
I was really, no, seriously, I looked at that and went, God, I can't wait to try that.
I was imagining that, you know, video of Patrick from SpongeBob where he's just like vacuuming up the hamburgers.
It was even faster than that.
He's got nothing on me.
Yeah, three nothing burgers in a sitting?
I can. That's well, not today, but that's what I do. Like
that kind of burger or smash burger?
Forget it. Like, so earlier you said something. You said, well, you know what? I don't need the accoutrements or the signs or whatever. That's how I roll. So if I'm eating like actual homemade burgers or even at a restaurant, I can put down one of those and I can put another one down. Mm-hmm. I could probably take a third too, but it's because I'm not eating all the other stuff.
Right.
You know, and if you're talking bison, they're so lean anyway. You know.
It was still a formidable, I mean, it was probably the same size of the burger that I did get to taste as
correct.
Well.
Correct.
So that wasn't a smash burger. That was like, you know, a cooked to temp, nice, thick burger.
I had, I told you about this place near my house.
Yeah, you did.
What the hell is it? Hunt and Gather. Yeah. Right?
Yeah, it was Hunt and Gather.
They do a great job. It's all local stuff, gamey stuff, you know.
Love that.
But they do I think it was a boar smash burger thing that he did. It was really good. Super good.
I was actually thinking about doing a smash burger until I saw the sizes of those buddies. So that was not going to happen.
Those go good with the mustard. Because right. We were talking about mustard before, you get those mustardy, crunchy edges on the smash burger.
We had a whole
good stuff.
We had a whole episode
in the kitchen.
In the kitchen over here,
you know, before, waiting for our coffee.
Yeah. And by the way, I just want to mention something. So, a couple of real quick points for this event that we're doing on Saturday. Okay, Noble Citrus. Super stoked. They're coming on board as a sponsor for the event.
They're all over the menu.
Yeah, I know. I'm so excited. I was with Patrick Kelly the other day. And, you know, we've got the Citrus America unit in his studio. So he had two cases of the tangerines. Oh, my God. Dude, it's so wonderful. It's wonderful.
It's Florida in an orange.
Yeah. Oh my God. Anyway.
Or a tangerine, I should say.
Yeah. So super excited about Noble, you know, being a part of this. Also Sweetwater Coffee, right? And by the way, I just want to throw a shout out to John here because dude makes the best cafe con leche. I don't care where you're from. Buddy beats everybody. All right. He doesn't talk much, but man, he can put out the coffee. Good job, baby. I just wanted you to know that.
By the way, there was somebody that works for Sweetwater. It was her birthday yesterday, who's also going to be there on Saturday. So happy belated birthday.
That's another Amy.
Yeah. Well, no, that's her mother. So Amy Yee.
It wasn't her birthday too? Oh, was it Tina?
Tina's birthday was yesterday. So happy belated. And Amy Yee, when one of our farmers, and Vicky Webster, another farmer who's going to be, both are going to be there. Yeah. It's their birthday Saturday night.
Ah, okay. My goodness. A lot of action. So,
we've got three birthdays.
9 months prior for these people. Yeah, a lot of action.
Well, not certain people.
All right. So Amy, Drew Thompson.
Yes.
So you had some stuff here. You see how you see him. He's not much to look at, right, Jeffrey. But man, he really puts it down.
Ouch.
Yeah.
It's all right. I'm used to it.
It's what we do. But he really can throw down in the kitchen.
I can vouch.
I really, I'm so happy because we've been talking for what, 2 years, year and a half? I don't know.
It's been a while.
Right.
Like I think that's sort of the nature of built relationships. I have, you know, such good partnerships with people now who I met like on Twitter or Instagram, you know, because of a common love of food, or local produce, or championing small business, whatever it is, you know, and our relationship kind of started that way, I think, too.
It started that way on probably Instagram or something like that, or LinkedIn or one of these things. And, you know, so we've always had this like digital communication thing, right? So this is the first time we've actually met in person.
Right.
And I'm glad you got to come here on a production day where we're doing our thing. And you get to see John doing the photography, and you get to see, you know, Jeff doing his thing. And you didn't get to see me slam the burger, but, you know.
We haven't recorded.
The tech, I have to say, he may be quiet. That operation, the photography, just before you even get to anything getting cleaned up, it was like Nat Geo gorgeous, except it was hamburgers. It was bison on a bun instead of in a field grazing. Right.
And I'm glad you said that because I tell a lot of people we come here and we shoot some of the days it could be 6 hours. And I'm like, by the way, food doesn't move. It's not running around in a field. It's food. It's cooked on a plate. He's so meticulous at what he does. Like we were shooting the raw product. You were doing something. I think you were doing the Noble spot. And he's like, hey, can we somehow remove this line that's right there? And I'm like, where? You could barely see it. I had to put my glasses on, but he, being the perfectionist he is, and I'm not saying this is a bad thing. I'm saying this because when you have a guy that is this talented as Henry and the Silent John, you need somebody like that because he finds these little nuances. And you saw it when one of the burgers we had to redo. To him, it was like, what do you think? I'm like, hey, it looks like a burger. He goes, it looks messy to me. I don't like this. I don't like that. I'm like, hey, let's go redo it. That burger, when we redid it, it's just amazing. So if you're in the field, if you're looking for somebody that's going to do some really fantastic food photography, hands down, this dude is
It's more than style because food stylists often use non-food elements to mimic food for the photography. Like this is real mustard coming through, you know, getting piped onto the burger so that it looks so beautiful. It's just beautiful.
Well, I mean, today
we eat a small amount of it, but yes,
we were like Oliver from
please, sir, may I have some more? Wow, may I have another?
Well, the sour cherry brie was unbelievable. Have liked to taste the guava cheese.
There's some over there.
But guava and cheese by itself is guava and cheese. Guava and cheese on a burger.
There's another patty.
I lived in Miami 6 years. I would have dug on that.
Right. Oh my god. I'm sorry. Well, you were not even in here.
No, I know. I wasn't around. I would have been like, come on.
Yeah, I know.
We were like two puppy dogs watching him scolf that thing down. I'm like, I would have loved to taste that one.
It's like it's almost like what happened. It was like a
tunnel
trance.
Vision.
Right.
It was
one of those.
My eyes rolled back into my head.
It was like a hammerhead shark.
Yeah, it was like that. It's crazy. Hey, listen, whatever.
There's charcuterie and then there's Carl Cootery.
Right. Okay. Oh, I think
Burger
we're done.
Shark.
Yeah. Wow. All right. So, Amy, give a little. So you do a lot of stuff. And I love it all.
Thank you.
All right. Can you go a little bit into for the audience, a little bit about your history, kind of where you come from, what you're doing now. And then after that, we'll talk a little bit about maybe how we can, you know, do a little, regular podcasting.
That would be super fun. Well, we'll see how this goes. I just started.
Yeah. True story.
Turned into a train wreck.
Yeah.
I'm here. It's okay.
Have a food background. I grew up in the restaurant industry. My father owned restaurants, was a chef, was a business owner, a small business owner. So I have an affinity for, local restaurants because I know how hard it is. My dad and I've told this story before. I think my dad once went 11 years without consecutive days off.
That's serious.
But the people who do this listening are nodding. They're like, yeah, I could totally see that. Or that's happened to me or something like that. So I know how hard it is. I love to eat. I always have. I'll try anything. And if I don't like it, I'll probably just keep trying it until I find a version that I like. I don't have any onion pickiness or mayo pickiness, or I can't relate. I know I was making a face when they were talking about that you don't like, how do you not like red onion? Red onion is like, red onion makes everything but chocolate cake better, you know? And probably there's a way it can make chocolate cake better.
I was looking at him because I saw his
caramelized.
I was watching his gears turning.
I just said it. It's chipotle and caramelize it and puree it in the actual chocolate. Yeah. Dope.
So I write right
not
now.
Saturday, no.
No, not that. No, but let's. I would like. We should try this. This
is
would
it
be great.
Too soon. It's too. Do soon. You have enough time?
No. Yeah. Yeah, I do, but I don't want to.
That's for next time. Yeah. Chocolate and red onion. We'll figure it out. Right now I, he's like, not my house. You won't. I write for the Orlando Sentinel. I've been doing that for 4.5 years about. I love it. I love meeting all the people, front of house, back of house. I love learning about different kinds of cuisines. You know, I know a bit, but I still don't know more than I know. And that'll probably continue until the end. But I love it. I love everything that I love everything that I learned this morning, just watching what was going on today.
But isn't that what makes a certain part of the journalism component fun?
Yeah, well, it is what makes, that's the whole thing, is that I want to learn all these things. I love asking questions. And in this job, that's what I'm supposed to do. Normally with other people, we'll be like, it's so annoying. All she does is ask questions. But when I'm there, I'm supposed to do that. So
how does somebody in today's environment get into journalism in an effective way?
I'm too old to answer that question. I've been in it too long and the game has changed quite a bit. I came to the Sentinel with decades of experience already. So I would imagine that it's, you know, social media driven largely. None of these things existed when I first got into it. I was mailing my resumes in an envelope to people.
What's an envelope? Yeah. No, I'm kidding.
Pretty much. I mean, that's kind of what it's like. That's you what know? You, that's when what I would gonna... submit freelance, I would mail one to the New York Times and mail one to myself. That's what they would teach you, because this way you'd have a postmark to prove if anybody stole your work, that it was your work.
Yeah, that's, or yeah, like you would, a similar thing would.
It's like proof of life when you kidnap someone.
Wow. Okay. Well, I mean, you went to a dark place, but yeah, I mean, that's okay. All right. So I would say how I see it, there's such a swing, right? Cause I think we're all pretty close in age here. You're probably the youngest.
That's a very fair view. Probably not. I am 53 years old. There's no shame in my game. So.
Chefs and food buyers, let me tell you about a product that will generate new excitement on your menu. Fully cooked, pasture-raised, all-natural Australian lamb from Aussie Select. Their award-winning, handcrafted, innovative products are blended with the finest spices and amazing flavors. Options include agave rosemary, tikka masala, lamb pastrami, and lamb prime rib roast. Available sliced or whole with a long shelf life too. Find out more at AussieSelect.com.
All right. Well, I'm still the baby. Whatever. So I'm gonna be 50 in a couple of months.
Oh, that's so cute.
I know. Like, it's nice. Shut up.
He actually left.
Look at him. He's having a good time. Finally.
Even after the burger gate.
Everything has changed. You know, when you were talking about 11 years, no days off, mm-hmm. right? Only certain generations are going to get that, because 0.0% of anybody that's, you know, 35 or younger today, no, they don't do it.
No, because that's, you know, there's a new attitude that's very healthy, which is I can't work all the time or I'll die.
And by the way, I'm not saying one's right or wrong in terms of that, because the truth is, you know, we're on this planet a short period of time. And it stinks when you're forced to work to live, to work, to live, to work, to live, to work, to live.
Like, I think that, it's different also when you're an entrepreneur, though. These are my dad. This was my dad working for his own business.
Correct.
So that's a whole other animal, I think.
Well, it's a different mindset nowadays, because you hear, you know, between the American Culinary Federation and people that I talk to about how do you get your staff and how do you communicate as a Gen Z, and you're talking to a millennial or a Z or whatever. It's so much more difficult for us. Like, we're just like, go with it. You know, Gen Z, they're not going to work. You know, I just told you guys, I worked in the last 3 days, nothing less than 12 hours on my feet.
And I'm like, what do you want, a cookie? Like, that's what exactly. I was like, like, all right.
And I think to Amy's point, it's, we need to change. And that's one of the things that, you know, I'm big about trying to change is how do we get 2 days consecutive off in the industry? You don't only get that when you're working for a corporation, and sometimes you don't.
Yeah.
And that's one of the biggest things is like, how do we figure out that balance, the work-life balance? And that's one of the, I think that's...
It's a post-COVID crisis. Yeah. You know, that really changed the game. People left. It was kind of, I look at it as I'm a freelancer and I've written for the construction industry for a long time. One of the things that's been pervasive issue is the employment shortage. There's not enough people to do the jobs. And I think that and this was sort of triggered almost by the housing bust. So people who were close to retirement and other people, when the housing bust happened, left the construction industry. Some of them retired, some of them changed careers, never to come back. And so there was an employment shortage. There was, you know, a worker shortage. And I think that the same thing has happened post-COVID, or similar thing in the restaurant industry, in that people left and they don't want to come back. To either they left for good and changed careers, or they don't want to come back to the same situation they were in before.
Yeah, I think that's accurate. You know, it's funny because it's not the same situation as it was before. I mean, in some cases it is, you know what I mean? But the reality is most independent operations immediately, changed course and started offering more money, the better packages, stuff like that. A lot of the corporate places, it took a little time because it's kind of a lag sort of a thing. But in most cases, like, you know, dishwashers are making $20 plus now.
Which is so crazy to me. I remember when I was a server and I think I made
$2.13 an hour.
$2.13
Yeah,
an
but
hour,
plus tips.
Exactly. Yeah, but tips. when you average it out, you were making $25 an hour. Like, I did.
If you were in a, but what about the people who aren't in those places where the tips are going to balance out? What about those people who are in, although now in like a basic sports bar, a burger costs $19.
Seriously.
So maybe you are, I don't know.
That is the absolute truth.
You know, but when I was working in a sports bar, the last sports bar job I had, a burger was, $7.99.
And so, that was super expensive.
So I wasn't, you weren't making that.
That was a Gold Leaf burger right there.
Yeah, but no, they were still a little bit higher than that too. There's nothing like when Shenanigans, that thing, he had prices that were ridiculous back then. Like a prime rib dinner was $13.99. I used to make really good money there.
$13.99. Can you imagine anything being $13.99? You can't get a drink for $13.99.
There are places, I see it now and I always call it out. Like, oh, this is really quite reasonable. And then I'll go into a place and I'm like, how is it $75 for this lunch for two people? Like, didn't have a drink or didn't, it should say no alcohol.
Right.
How is two appetizers and two entrees at lunch, $75?
Well, I think,
but it is
so
in some places.
So part of the conversation that's been had here with ADT and Walk and Talk, it's so you get to go to all these really cool independent local spots, a lot of mom and pop sort of places, and
my favorites.
Yeah, well, they're our favorites too, to go and eat at, but we've, with the show, we've kind of always, lean towards, your more fancy, fancy dancy sort of operations. Everybody's got a place. Right?
I love that too.
Yeah. But I think
fancy,
it would be
clear ice cubes and all that.
I love it. Like I really enjoy it. Yeah, man. Are you kidding me? I love it. So but I'm thinking, I see you as like this bellwether,
eating behind the gas station where I just bought ribs.
Yeah, seriously, I would love to hear about this on a regular basis. I think the audience would totally dig it.
Sure. I mean, right? Yeah, I mean, don't go in my car now that I actually finally got some air fresheners in there. I desperately need to detail my car. My car always smells like food. Like people get in my car and they're like, do you drive for Uber Eats? Like my car just, it smells like residual food perpetually. That's and funny. I do eat in my car a lot.
Well, I do too. I mean, it's a sickness, but you know, when I leave here a lot of, and I don't do any cooking people, like I do the eating, but when I
thank
leave,
God that was recorded.
Yeah, no, I own this, bro. Like I own it. I'm okay with
that. That was the whole first 20 minutes of the show.
Yeah, for real. What are you doing?
He's recording.
Get out of here. Get out of here with that. So when I leave, I feel like I worked a shift. That's what it smells like. Like you work a shift.
Right.
Yeah. Whatever.
I wish you recorded my facial expression instead of his. That was more.
He can get that later. Get the reaction shot later.
Can you say that again? You felt like you what?
Not I felt like.
He smelled did he not, like.
You smell like you work a shift.
He worked a shift.
Oh, that's better. I'm glad you clarified because he and I both heard felt like you worked a shift.
That's because you got too many feelings.
I don't have feelings. I don't have a heart.
My God. You know, what kind of chef are you with these emotions? What is this?
That's a good one.
I know. Kidding. You bring it in, baby. Bring it in. I know.
It's so lovely.
It is. This is what we do. So it's like this. It's this clash of, you know,
front of the house, Gen back of the X, house.
Gen X raised by boomers smashing into Gen Z. And we have it all here on the show. Always. It's constant, you know, because listen, I when I moved up here from Miami, I worked 11 months without a day off, period. Not consecutive, but 11 months. Nothing like 11 years of that's insanity. For his business, God bless. Here, somebody
might
else
have kept him alive. I mean, he made it to 92.
Well, no, it's a beautiful thing because you're doing it for yourself. I did 11 months for somebody else, and it almost killed me. Like, you know, it was no bueno in any kind of way. Most people don't wrap their head around that. They're like, "What do you mean you for somebody did that? What'd you get out of that?" Well. A lot of experience out of that.
This is,
you
know, so heavy for my first appearance.
Yeah. Well, you know, we don't mess around.
We were talking about like cheese and mustard in the kitchen.
Yeah. I mean, I love cheese.
Yeah.
What's your favorite cheese?
Oh, favorite cheese? I like the funky, smelly stuff.
Oh, really?
Lindenburg?
Yeah, I do. I like, you know, like the funkiest, moldiest blue cheese, like, you know, four feet on the feet scale.
You know, she's fun. She's you're fun. I
like a Stilton.
Stilton's
not that.
It can be. There are some out there that can get
like a Yorkshire blue cheese. It's like fudge. It's like if fudge were made of blue cheese.
Feet fudge. It's exactly what it is.
It's smelly feet fudge with mold and I'm sure he doesn't like that.
I'm a manchego.
Oh,
guy.
I love manchego. Yeah, I mean, I just like cheese.
I do too, but I do have. I don't know. What was your funk factor? What did you say?
Four.
Like 4 feet.
Four?
Like, you know, on a scale of one to four, feet. I mean, I mean actual feet, like
yeah,
not a unit of measurement.
I know what you mean. I'm probably like a,
measurement.
1 foot, 3 pinky toes, something like that. I'm like, I'm in that range. You know, I like it, but not.
I like it all though. I like it all.
My grandfather used to have the Lindenberger cheese and then you open that thing up, it's like, no, I'm good. Never tried it since. Never so have. Funny.
Yeah, no. I like the stinky stuff. I've had some phenomenal, you know, American made blue cheese from different, you know, creameries in like Oregon and Wisconsin and all over the place. I'm trying to remember where Rogue River is. Oh. Do you know where Rogue River is? So Rogue River Blue.
Used that one. Yeah.
That's some of the best blue cheese I've ever had.
Don't worry, Silent John's going to look it up for us.
Yeah, he's going to check that out.
Yeah, he's our Googler. A fact checker.
Yeah,
Googler. Fantastic.
Yeah, listen, we're almost a professional.
This is great because normally I'd be on my phone.
Right.
You know, go wait. Hold on.
It stinks because my gut is to Google everything. You know, getting into an argument with the children, wife, friend, coworker. Give me the phone.
Isn't it funny though how like the kids who grew up with this supercomputer in their pocket, they're the ones where you're like, they ask you questions and you're like, why don't you just Google that?
Yep.
It's weird, right? Yeah,
Google it. So this is in Oregon.
That's why it was the first one that popped into my head. Phenomenal. Oh my God, that Rogue River Blue Cheese. Go to your local cheese shop and get that.
Yeah, shout out.
Yeah.
Thank you. Really good. Thank you, Google Master.
And I'll say I learned about that from Tonda Corrente, who is La Femme de Fromage, has a shop at East End Market in Orlando. She's phenomenal. She knows so much and finds so much. And
yeah, we used to do business with her.
Shout out, Tonda.
We did business with her.
The one that I know from down in Broward is the Cheese Course.
Okay.
Yeah. Wow, that opened my eyes to a lot of things.
But La Femme, they do a terrific job. Yeah, they do a really, really, really good job.
Yeah, it's a great spot, and there's just so much fun stuff there if you just like cheese. And if you go on Friday, God, this is such a plug, grilled cheese happy hour.
Oh.
So
remember we did the
some
cheese.
Kind of yeah, fun, but, funky grilled cheese with a good local beer.
Amy.
Yeah.
Tell me more about that.
What's your favorite grilled cheese? Then?
Now we're talking.
Like, what are you?
Honestly, yeah. You know, I'm from New York, and so diners, there aren't a lot of good, like, New York Greek diners here. I like either grilled mozzarella with tomato on rye. Just like, it's like so basic, but it's so good. If I were going to do something funky, somebody would have to do something chefy and crazy with, but I would like something that's got funk for sure. You know, like with gorgonzola or something in it.
And gorgonzola would be really good because it's got that creaminess.
Maybe not. I probably wouldn't go as sweet as a dulce, but like something tart fruit could go in there.
Elevate your dining experience with Rack Porcelain USA. As the exclusive tableware brand for the Walk and Talk podcast, Rack combines exceptional craftsmanship with innovative design. Whether you're a chef, a restaurant owner, or a food enthusiast, Rack's high-quality porcelain products will enhance every meal. Discover the artistry of food presentation and make every dining occasion special. Visit rackporcelain.com today and see how Rack can transform your table.
I like this, what you just described, though.
With maybe green apples.
With the mozzarella.
So
and
there's
the
crunch in there.
Oh, man.
Yeah, no, that's like the best. Mozzarella or provolone.
Yeah.
Just with tomatoes on rye.
Yeah.
I like rye bread.
You know what I haven't had in forever? Oh, my gosh. You like, when you're in New York, and it never happens here. You go to New York, and you go to the store, and you bring back the fresh mozzarella, mm-hmm. and you open up the wax paper.
I want to learn how to make that.
Oh my God! But and you cut it in the
yeah, I know that's
juice,
what
the water just oh my God! A little salt on it. You just eat it right there at the sink, man. Oh my God! I miss that so much.
It's gone.
There's a place down in Hollywood called Mimi's, and they still do the mozzarella the same way. It's 108 degrees in the water, and they just take the curds Mimi's. And a little salt,
and they just have a big tub,
and
there.
They just. Pull and then they form it into a ball.
Frankie and Anthony. Mm-hmm.
I want to learn to do that. That's a project that I've wanted to write about for a while. I haven't gotten around to it. I made a turducken once though.
Oh yeah?
Yes.
No kidding.
Yeah.
How'd that go?
It went really well, actually. I mean, it wasn't perfect. I ended up kind of skewering it together, so it wasn't flawless. But when I cut it, you know, it was there. I did it. It was the inception of meats.
That's right. Yeah, there. You know, that's a lot of, serious.
It was called Cook Something Bold Day, and I wanted to make timpano, but I didn't have the right, like, pan bowl to make it. And I ordered one, but it didn't make it in time for my deadline. So I pivoted to turducken. Now I have a good bowl for timpano, and I still have to make it.
So you like to get into the kitchen.
I love to get into the kitchen. I am not any kind of a professional chef. I'm just a fairly proficient home cook. You're going to see me chop stuff and probably just go, oh, knife skills. But I mean, no. I can still chop stuff.
It doesn't bother me. I don't look at anybody like that.
But I mean, I can follow a recipe. And if you can follow a recipe, you can make good food.
Yeah, you can make it happen.
Yeah.
That's interesting. So, because I'm sitting here, right? And we're behind the mic, we're talking, and you mentioned before, you're like, yeah, I love to cook. And, you know, obviously we know what you do for a living, right? So you're just into this whole foodie, you know, foodie world, which is awesome.
I love it.
Yeah. And then I start
I do get
thinking,
food fatigue, though. Do you get food fatigue eating all the stuff?
No.
Sometimes I'm just like, I just want to drink ginger ale today. No, I want to drink kombucha just for the day.
So Thursdays are the day I really don't eat because I'm, you know, cooking and then get done and I got to get back home and I'm like, I don't feel like cooking anything. So,
but then on the way home, you get like Chick-fil-A.
No,
I worked until 1 a.m. and then Fazoli's was the only thing open. So I ate breadsticks. It's like somebody who's
but making. That's a different deal right there. That's a whole different deal.
Well, there's a different reason why you're stopping too.
Yeah. Well, listen. So the last week or the week before, I don't remember. I had my fill. You know, I did good here, right?
You actually took some stuff home. I think it was last week you took two sandwiches home.
I mean, I always take something home, but I ate not it today. When I got home. I did a number
you
here.
You ate it all day, then you ate again when you got home. Fifth meal.
I ate though. I think it was
like a hobbit.
He ate the rest.
Second was that second breakfast?
Yeah.
Second dinner, third dinner.
My wife is like, dude, go to the doctor, please. You know, for the love of the family, go. And I'm like, okay, yeah, I got to probably check that out.
And he asked me to go because I have to explain to the doctor why he's this way.
Yeah, man. I'm like, somebody's got to explain this. Like, you know, Carl, why are your triglycerides so high? I don't know. Ask him. He cooks for me. I don't know.
I
eat his food.
Pace. I could put it away. If I was not being careful, I can eat. I am not a bashful eater. I don't feel bad as a girl. You know, I mean, don't get me wrong. I like salad. Like, I don't want to make it like all I want is meat and potatoes. I like everything, but I can put it away. So with this job, you know, there's moderation involved. I can't clean my plate. Cause if I cleaned every plate, I would be on two chairs right now.
I like what you're saying.
Yeah.
I can understand. I'm picking up what you're
saying. I'm 5 feet tall. Every pound looks like two on me.
So
you don't have a diet problem. You have a height problem. That's like me. I should be 8'7" should be
no, my height. I like being 5 feet tall. I am mini mighty. I don't want to eat for somebody who's 8 feet tall. It's, no.
Well, you know, being when you work within the food industry and you get to experience, you know, all the different, you know, the hot spots and the trendy places and the local places, and then out of nowhere, somebody comes up and they say, hey, I know that you know all the places. You know, where should I go tonight for X, Y, or Z? Because that's me. Mm-hmm. I know all the chefs. I work with them and, you know, all these things, right? I don't mean that. Like, I literally...
The crazy part is that for as much as I know, it's like the surface. Because there's just thousands of places.
Thousands. But then I blank out. People ask me, and they're like, hey, where should I go? And I'm like...
I ask them all the time.
I don't know. I don't... Leave me alone. Don't ask me. I don't know anything. Leave me alone.
I don't know. I mean, I think I usually, especially if they email me, because then I can sit there and kind of think about it.
Oh, that's different.
But yeah, no. I think most of the time I don't blank out. I can always at least offer a couple of things. But then what'll happen is later I'll be like, oh, there's also this place and this place and this place, you know.
Maybe it's just me.
Is there, you mentioned earlier when we were in the kitchen, the green room talking,
the green room,
you eat something. And if you, or maybe it was just now, you eat something. If you don't like it, you try to find it. Who's doing something right.
Chopped liver is a perfect example of that. Growing up, I would go to different dinners, Seders, and people would be like, oh, whoever it was in the house, you have to try the liver. She makes the best liver. He makes the best liver. The chopped liver is so good. With eggs, without eggs, chunky eggs, small eggs, the whole thing. I would eat it and I'd be like, you know, I'm not an animal. I don't have to spit things out. I'm not four, but I didn't care for it, you know?
Right.
It would always taste... Actually, it was Matt Hinckley, again, East End Market from Hinckley's Fancy Meats. He makes, you know, pâtés and all of these beautiful tureens. And he said to me one day, oh, if you eat bad liver, it's like sucking on loose change. And
no,
I was
he's
like,
100%
and
right.
That's, 100%
it, perfect.
It was like it snapped into focus. Yep. I was like, you're right. That's what it tastes like. Pennies. And so it has this metallic flavor when it's not good. And I didn't enjoy it, but I would try it every time. I'd be like, all right, I'll bite. And then I started having good liver and I was like, now I get it. Now I get why people like this. So I'm glad that I kept trying it and just didn't say, you should never just say, I don't like whatever, because it may not be the best version or there may be a version of it you would like if you kept trying it. So you can't just, I mean, people do, but you can't just throw a blanket over
durian. It. I'm still not past durian yet. I haven't found durian in a way that I can eat it.
That could be a project. We should do that.
Yeah, their fortune cookie back in...
what about like ice cream when they do durian ice cream? Or are you just talking about the fruit?
Fruit.
Fresh.
Yeah, fresh. Like my buddy owned an Asian market called Fortune Cookie, and I remember walking into Jeff's place, and I was like, what the heck is going on?
Who died here?
Yeah, and he had it sealed in a refrigerator, and it's still... Do you know what durian is? Because you're looking at me all like...
I'm just trying to picture this.
It's a very popular fruit in Southeast Asia.
Yeah, it's like jackfruit, but for them, it's the jackfruit for the Southeast Asians. And it's...
A jackfruit is delicious.
Oh, yeah, it is. But durian has a smell that is...
Pungent.
Thank you.
I was still on the liver.
People compare it. I know. Well, I think that's why he jumped to something.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, durian, a lot of people love it. I mean, a lot of people love it. And if you put it in things, like you make it into ice cream, it's sweet and it's got a beautiful, almost like a passion fruit-ish taste.
Have you had jackfruit custard?
I've had jackfruit barbecue. You know, they make it into barbecue. And I did a story once just about getting a jackfruit. Like, I bought this jackfruit. It was like, they're like the size of, you know, two human heads put together.
Actually, they're half the size of you.
Some of them are huge. And so this is giant jackfruit I bought at iFresh. And I wanted to learn how to, like...
Oh, I got to hear this story.
It was just, I'll send it to you after, but it was just, it's like an alien ovary. Like, it's just, it's crazy. These seeds that look like you want to make them into jewelry, like these beautiful dark brown, I don't think they're black, but they look like polished wood seeds, and the fruit is right around the seed. But then there's all of this heavy, crazy
starchy
fruit that's not what you eat. The fruit are these... forgive me, they're like fleshy pods around the seed. And it's like a crazy alien.
Jamaicans love roasting those seeds.
And it's beautiful. I would love to try that. I would love to try that. Yeah. Like a chestnut kind of?
Yeah, they just roast them and they crack them open and eat them too.
It's like the size of a chestnut.
Oh, yeah.
They're big. But yeah, it's a crazy looking, really awesome fruit. I love jackfruit. They say that jackfruit is supposed to be the flavor of juicy fruit gum.
I would go with that.
That's what I heard, you know, juicy fruit. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, so, the 2.5 seconds of chewing and it's done.
They spit it out.
Speaking of which, I just heard on NPR that they're discontinuing fruit stripe gum after all these years.
No kidding.
Yeah. Who knew they even still made that?
I didn't know
it's red dye number 5. Kidding.
It probably is.
But anyway, I jumped. I'm sorry, non sequitur. Yeah, jackfruit, juicy fruit. That's what that flavor is supposed to be, is what I heard.
Interesting.
It's almost like a Meyer lemon with the orange and, you know, the lemon, all the different mixtures of that. Or you get the jackfruit. I think jackfruit's like pineapple meets passion fruit meets...
Banana almost.
Yeah, but there's so many different fruits all wrapped up into one that you get.
It's jacked up,
sommelier-like when you...
Right.
You know... Because there are these really wonderful fruits that kind of, if you don't grow up eating them, then it's just, that's what that tastes like. But if it's a new fruit to you and
you know,
then you're like, oh, this tastes like...
This conversation is reminiscent of, I met her once or twice, really cool, her Susie the Foodie.
I've never met her. We know each other from social.
Right.
But we've never met in person.
Yeah, but you see the stuff she does, right?
Oh, yeah. I think I commented recently on one of the fruits that she had in there, and I was like, you make these and then tell people they're real.
She finds these the most obscure, never seen before.
They're beautiful. The most beautiful fruits you ever saw in your life.
Well, hold on. Wait a minute. So
don't get crazy.
Some of them are beautiful, but then some of these things are like... Ick factor times 6,000.
I don't know. I think that's in the eye of the beholder. Because I think if you grow up looking at it, you know, it's not weird to you. It's weird to you because you didn't see anything.
Wait
like
a minute.
That.
No. Because listen, you know, I might have children and I love my children, but maybe I got the ugliest kids on the block. I still love them. I don't see that they're ugly. Everybody else does. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, that's kind of like that. But these fruits, man.
I don't know.
No.
I just think, I mean, they might look foreign to me because they're new. But I think they're all really interesting. But I like all that
stuff. I love her. Her Instagram is like banging.
It's crazy. It really watching is. Like her stuff is...
I'll shoot you her handle there
mushroom
later.
Mushroom bone marrow.
Yeah.
Like she does
cool stuff.
These amazing projects, really.
Yeah, real cool. But like she'll get the
mushroom bone,
the fresh or raw.
Right.
Whatever it is. And, you know, she'll crack it open. Stuff is oozing. It's pretty cool.
Does she use the... emperor or trumpet oyster.
She uses these. I'm trying to remember what it was, but it was this just beautiful
king trumpet.
You know,
that's what
it was. with a stem that you could hollow out, and it looks like the bone. And then she makes like a puree out of different mushrooms plus whatever else she puts in there. Pipes it in, hits cool. it with the blowtorch. And
sound familiar?
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Yeah, we did one here. We did it with a hearts of palm.
There you go.
And I did, we were doing it because of food waste, and I wanted to showcase it. I actually,
oh, the canoe?
Yeah, remember? Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I actually ended up doing it for 500 chefs at the American Culinary Federation, and I sampled that out, and I would say vegan bone marrow, and they would stop, and they're like, how the heck did you do vegan bone marrow? And I'm like, one day I was cutting up hearts of palm, and it looked like a canoe for the bone. Done. And that's all she wrote. And we did a shoot with the tomahawk.
Yeah, we did the big fat Tommy on and you did that. Yep.
Yeah.
So you had the vegan bone marrow with the tomahawk. Yeah. Cover all the bases.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Something different. I wanted to be a little bit different.
That's cool.
Yeah.
You're different. Yeah. You are different.
Tomahawks are so pretty though. Like they're like the Instagram steak star, because it just looks like what they put on, you know, Fred Flintstone's car. You know,
I kind just of said that today. The Brontosaurus burger.
Yeah, a tomahawk for me is just one giant smile. Just a giant smile.
If he cooks one, can I get a bite?
Yeah. Well, so I mean, we just
you're not going to eat the whole tomahawk.
So the veal chop is a tomahawk, and I like the veal chop better. That's just me. But I grew up in an Italian restaurant, for crying out loud.
Talking about, I love veal.
You know, we used to have the chef ready rack.
Don't hate seven me people. Whatever.
Listen, if you like cheese and you don't like the four letter word veal, then stop eating cheese. That's right. All I got to tell you on that one.
Yeah, nobody's going to understand that though.
Yeah, you know, we can talk about that later.
Yeah, we don't want to get too deep with, you know, Amy's.
No, it's the first time. We want to be gentle.
Ease me in.
We're keeping it. It's all superficial.
How
it's
do
all
you surface. Choose like what restaurant to go to? Like you hear about the buzz. Somebody emails you.
Yes. Yes. Okay. I mean, it's all the ways. Sometimes it's a new place that I've known was going to open and it's something that I know people are interested in. Sometimes it's, I'm driving down the street and I'm like, oh, pupusas. Let me pull in.
God, she just got me on pupusas.
There you go. So that's the whole thing, is that you're driving and you just catch it on a sign in some old strip mall. And you're like, hey, there's a Korean place over there. I never knew that was there. And you go in and all of a sudden you're like, okay, well, this place is great. And
you force yourself. So you can actually look at this in different ways. Because when I'm driving and I see something like that, I'm like, man, you know, I would like to try that. Eh, whatever. But this is what you do for a living.
Yes.
So you're like, you know what? I must do this. And you can
Or I can come back. Now I know it's there. Right. I can make a mental note and be like, I'm going to come back tomorrow when I have, you know, an hour free.
Did you?
Or maybe I'll go and ask somebody about it. I'll be like, hey, you know, so-and-so. I'll ask a bunch of people. I know a lot of people who are in the foodie circles. Hey, do you know about this pupusa place? You know, who's gone?
What do you know about? What's your, let's talk sushi for a second. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. What do you got cooking?
Cooking? What do you mean? Like what's
you don't
coming
cook
up?
Sushi, by the way.
No.
For the most
part. You hush your mouth. You hush your mouth.
I very recently, yes, I checked out Sushi Saint, which is the new Tamaki centric restaurants.
Would you call
all
me?
They have?
Would you call me? Okay.
Hand rolls. There's not a lot of restaurants, not a lot of sushi restaurants dedicated to the hand roll. It looks like we're going to have a few this year in Orlando. He does cones, not cylinders.
So that's what you're talking about, the hand roll.
Yes,
Mataki.
But
okay.
Usually...
Clarification.
Usually, like, it's a cylinder when they do a hand roll. They do them in cones, which is... It's nice because they put them in these little holders. So it makes it easy if you want to take those pictures. Mm. Also, if you want to put it down and not have it fall apart, which they don't, by the way. But it eats really well, and it's very aesthetically beautiful because in the cone... At the top, you can see all the beautiful ingredients, and the ingredients in these things. Like if you're familiar with Soseki, Chef Mike's. He's been on this show.
Yeah,
yes,
of course.
He has.
Well, there you go. That's right. So those same ingredients are what he's doing over at Sushi Saint, but it's chill, and you could get a roll that costs $6, and you could get a roll that costs $25. It's all what you want, and he has presets at different price points, or you can go a la carte, and it's good stuff.
I love Chef Mike.
He is a nice guy.
He's a nice guy.
He's a dude that you want to hang out with.
He's funny, man.
Yeah. We had a great show with him over at the
Carol. Yeah, I still have that show pinned on Spotify.
I know you do, because every time I go on it, it's just Mike Galantis.
Yeah.
I want to kind of elaborate on that cone that she's talking about. Ben Gerber, a really great friend of mine I've known for 50 years. We would go to, he used to live off of Broward Boulevard. I don't know the name of the restaurant. And it was in a strip mall. And the dude did, ready for this? Stone crab cone.
Nice.
So it was a stone crab salad inside the actual wrap of the cone. What a better way of eating stone crabs without having to break it. And,
crab roll at Sushi Saint. That's unbelievable.
Really?
Yeah. They actually, 20 pounds at a time, they take it out of the shell by hand. There was no corner to cut, he said. It just, the quality was too good that way. And so that's a labor of love.
And that's where I would pay, because you know what? I love when people work for me. And when somebody in the kitchen is doing all the legwork.
This is what drives me nuts, that people say, how is this worth wait? Do you know how long it took them to do this? Just to take it, you know, not that this is, and that's a skill, getting that out. Yeah. If you've ever tried to get meat out
He's not doing king crab. He's doing like snow crab.
It's a snow crab.
So he could be like doing, it starts with a B. I can't remember the name of the species. Like king crab, I love it because it's so big. So it's easy for me to take the shears and just cut it open. I can get all the meat out of it. But the snow crabs that are smaller, gargantuan fingers are not getting them out. I'm going to tear it to shreds.
So they're doing 20 pounds of that, folding it in with the butter, you know. Yeah.
It's so dirty.
And I love it. Man.
Yeah.
When are we going?
This is it.
Tomorrow? Oh, no, I'm busy.
It is such a chill place. And I have to tell you, there's, I think, 12 seats at the bar. They also have a lounge. Make the reservation at least your first time. Go to the bar.
He knows somebody.
You know?
Yeah.
Go to the bar. Well, I'm speaking
to everybody.
Probably
tell me to take a walk.
I'm speaking to everybody out there. Make the reservation. Go to the bar where you can talk to the chefs, where you can see what they're doing. And learn about everything. And it was a really wonderful experience. Really, really wonderful.
How do people find, because I know that you have something coming out on this establishment. How
you
do they find it?
You can go, well, if you follow me on Instagram, I put up links there all the time. So I'm at Amy Drew, which is my name, but you spell it AMYDROO on Instagram. Same on Twitter. You can go to the Orlando Sentinel, orlandosentinel.com, and find my work there, all going all the way back 4.5 years. And those are two. Oh, and you can find me at the Let's Eat Orlando page. That's the Orlando Sentinel's Facebook group. It's like a foodie forum on Facebook, and you can follow me on Facebook as well.
Yeah, and that's a fair. I love that Facebook group.
It's super fun.
It's a really good one.
It's a great community. It's not that big. It's not snarky.
Get ready to innovate and organize your workspace with Metro. As the industry leader in storage and productivity solutions, Metro is here to transform and organize your kitchen. With their premium solutions, you'll experience the Metro difference. Metro's sturdy and versatile shelving units, workstations, holding cabinets, and utility carts are designed to streamline operations and maximize your productivity. Don't settle for imitators. Metro products last longer and offer unparalleled quality and durability. Plus, many customization options ensure that your workspace is tailored to your unique needs. Visit their website or contact them today to start designing your perfect space. Metro Shelving, your partner in organization and efficiency.
No, there's very few. Like you, I know that you've seen in the past, there was, you know, a couple of times people can get a little, you know.
Once in a while, but nowhere near the level at other
I love the group. Pages. It's a great group.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got a couple of them. I'll tell you, like the one that you posted and the guy was said something about the knife.
Yeah. Like
that group.
There's always someone.
Stupid. Yeah. It's like, we're not eating the knife.
Yeah. Some people just need to put the internet down.
Well, that's the whole thing. The internet has given us the ability to just like kind of just everybody has Tourette's on the internet.
I was about 6 years old, 6 or 7. It was in New York. And And I was, so let me just do it. I was breaking this teenager's balls, right? Like I was being annoying. I was 6-7 years old and I was annoying this teenager. He was probably 15, 16, something like that. And the kid's like, hey, you know, call, you know, cut it out. Stop it. Stop it. Stop it. And I kept pushing and pushing and pushing. So finally he literally just threw me down. And I ended up hitting the curb or something, and I had this gash.
And that's how we learned to shut up.
That's how you learn. But I went upstairs. So obviously, I'm a kid, right? So I was like, I went up to my, my mother says, she comes down. She says, hey, what happened over here? He goes, you know, sorry, Mrs. So-and-so, but, you know, he was, and you pushed him? Yeah. Good. That's what she said. She said, good. Now he's going to learn a lesson. I was like, this is how we grew up.
Yeah.
This is what it is.
I had a friend whose son, her sons are pretty much 2 years apart to the day. So the little one was very good natured and whatever, but the older one was always like, he's touching my toys, you know, whatever. And he would always pick on his little brother, and his mom would warn him, one day he's going to fight back. And if you know what, I was there. He tried to take a matchbox car away from his little brother. His little brother open-handed with a matchbox car. Now don't forget, he's only like, maybe 3.5, 4, open-handed, smacked him right across the face with the car.
Nice.
In his hand. He came running to his mother crying, and she said, I told you.
That's nice.
There was no...
I dig that. Yeah. And you know what? Listen, don't sleep on this. Three-year-olds have power, man. They can pick stuff up, like, you know, chairs and everything. Like, they got strength, like grandpa strength, but for kids. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's crazy like
that. It's funny. But yeah, I mean, I get your point. If we had to say the things in person that we said, I'm just using we to be diplomatic.
Sure.
We would not say them. It's like, you know, it's like the way people yell at other people from their car.
Yeah.
If you had to get out and actually engage the guy who cut you off, you might not say all that stuff.
All right, right. One more funny story. So this is a million years ago and I'm such a different human being now. So I was maybe 20 years old, something like that, maybe even 19. And I'm driving and I accidentally cut somebody off. Right. And it was like a tiny little car. Maybe like a Toyota Corolla, like really small. And it was like an 80s Toyota Corolla too, not like today. And, you know, he was like kind of right on my butt, whatever. So I pointed to a gas station, right? And I pull in my car and he pulls in his car. And we were maybe like 30 yards apart, right? So we weren't like right on each other. Anyway, I get out of the car and then this guy gets out and then he kept getting out. Like forever. He was a giant human being, like a massive, massive 6'7". Like he was like, I don't know how he fit in the car to begin with. I laughed. Like I looked at him and I was like, not today, man. I was like,
we're all good.
We laughed and we went our way. But yeah, no, like you learn your lessons and you don't mess when you're not supposed to. You just, that's how it is. So yes, Jeff.
And then you went into the gas station and got ribs.
And then I was like, man, I think I heard they have great the ribs about in here.
Food.
Yeah, man. Well,
speaking about food, I do have a question about how do you feel with the age of social media and people being food critics, quote unquote?
I mean, the doors have been thrown open. There are no gatekeepers anymore. Everybody's got an opinion and that's all good. You know, I mean, people decide to follow somebody because they like what they're saying. And, you know, I mean, I think it is what it is. People certainly get a lot more press that way, but it goes both ways. Sometimes you know, you're happy and you've got fans. And sometimes the unfortunate part is that one, you know, bad review can go viral and, you know, it's crazy.
How do you feel about when the chefs, owners go after those reviewers for those bad reviewers?
I don't even really know how to comment on that because that's too broad a question. I mean, I just think social media is kind of it's a free for all right now.
Yeah. It's the wild, for me, it's like the wild, wild west.
Yeah. Thank you. That's really what I was thinking.
Yeah. Cause I've seen some professional chefs and owners.
I'm a journalist. I do everything, you know.
Right. That's what I mean. Is like, how do you look at somebody who's, and we chefs, you hate the word influencer, but we have to use that because there's no other terminology. Mm-hmm. But you look at that and you're like, somebody writes a review, and I've seen some chefs go after that reviewer and be like, well, you wanted it to go. We don't do to go. You wanted it this way. But is there a way for the chefs to tactfully approach somebody that does a negative review?
I'm or you sure think that not there is, it? But just without even thinking about it and without seeing like a real specific example, I don't, you know, I don't, I'm definitely not, there's a difference between what I do and what, you know, like a, so they have people who are social media managers who can manage a restaurant's account and take beautiful pictures and TikTok and kind of help you respond. You know, that's really more of a PR thing. How do you respond in a crisis? It's, you know, so I don't know. There's people who are professionals at helping people through that.
I don't have a problem with chefs or owners, you know, communicating with the person with the challenge, but it really should always start and end with, hey, why don't you come back on in and let's, you know, let us show you what it's supposed to be and we can talk about it and kind of go from there. But the ones who actually engage in a negative way, and I think it's in poor taste, but I think a lot of the social media brings down or brings you into poor taste.
There's,
you
know, there are some people who respond to that positively. They like the scrap. And then there are some people who it's going to turn off and they want, you know, that tactful response. Like, hey, we're sorry you had a bad experience. You know, I would love to invite you back. Ask for me.
Yeah.
And I'll, you know, make sure that you get a better experience or whatever. Or they, oftentimes I'll see people say they're aware of it because it was a situation we had a special, you know, and because they knew and they were there and they'll give some more context to it. So, I mean, I don't really know. It's a crazy new world to navigate.
Listen, Amy Drew Thompson.
I am Amy Drew.
You That's are me. Indeed. I am very much looking forward to what we're going to be doing, I think, possibly going forward.
I hope she can make it on Saturday night.
Me too. I don't know. I never heard.
Don't eat Friday. I'm not Saturday.
I thought it was sold out.
I'm not.
Yeah. I have one for you because I was told you're coming. So
yeah.
I already have that.
Awesome. Well, planned. That is so cool. I'm excited.
My goodness. All right.
I'll get a chance to eat it all.
I also know a guy.
No, so he knows somebody to get you in. All right. Amy Drew Thompson, thanks for being on the program today. One more time on the best place to follow you.
Follow me on Instagram at Amy Drew, AmyDroo. Facebook, I am Amy Drew Thompson, all three of my names. Find me.
And check out her next article coming out.
That's right. Sushi Saint, yeah. Chef Michael Antes.
Oh, my. Mikey, baby. All right.
Got to get him back on.
I know. You know what? We got to do some cooking with him.
And smash burgers.
Yeah. Oh, my God. That's in
Daytona.
Daytona. We're going to go. About, that's where we should go.
He makes a good burger.
All right. Yeah, I know. We got to do it. All right. John, as always, you're wonderful. Great. I love your pictures.
Just be quiet, bro.
Dude.
Thank you guys for having me, by the way.
Thank you.
You're welcome anytime. We're going to do it. Chef, baby, I will see you catch on side B. We are out. Let me tell you about my friends over at Citrus America and their amazing juicing equipment. They're revolutionizing the way you enjoy freshly squeezed juice. They're at the best hotels, restaurants, and markets. Their mission is simple. Develop a unique consumer experience with on-premise juicing, deliver healthy taste options to clientele, and juice more faster. It's that easy. Citrus America supplies the highest quality juicing equipment and solutions in the industry. So whether you're a small business owner or a large corporation, Citrus America has the right juicing equipment for you. Find out more at citrusamerica.com.
Get ready to innovate and organize your workspace with Metro. As the industry leader in storage and productivity solutions, Metro is here to transform and organize your kitchen. With their premium solutions, you'll experience the Metro difference. Metro's sturdy and versatile shelving units, workstations, holding cabinets, and utility carts are designed to streamline operations and maximize your productivity. Don't settle for imitators. Metro products last longer and offer unparalleled quality and durability. Plus, many customization options ensure that your workspace is tailored to your unique needs. Visit their website or contact them today to start designing your perfect space. Metro Shelving, your partner in organization and efficiency.
Let me tell you about my friends over at Citrus America and their amazing juicing equipment. They're revolutionizing the way you enjoy freshly squeezed juice. They're at the best hotels, restaurants, and markets. Their mission is simple. Develop a unique consumer experience with on-premise juicing, deliver healthy taste options to clientele, and juice more faster. It's that easy. Citrus America supplies the highest quality juicing equipment and solutions in the industry. So whether you're a small business owner or a large corporation, Citrus America has the right juicing equipment for you. Find out more at citrusamerica.com.